A reading from Genesis chapter 18 verses 1 through 15 and chapter 21 verses 1 through 7. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, so that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son whom Sarah had bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Standing by the dusty, sunlit entrance to the tent, squinting out at Abraham talking with those 3 strangers, Sarah knew better. She knew better than to hope any longer. She'd asked Abraham to retell the words of God's promise, which had come in the earlier chapters. Retell them, Abram, countless times until they were etched in her memory too. "To your offspring, I will give this land." And again, "I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth." And again, "Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to count them. So shall your descendants be." Abram was 75 years old when he first heard these words of promise from God, and Sarai was only 10 years younger. Would she, barren though she had been her whole life, have a child at age 65? Well, that would be pretty unusual, but I suppose wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. So Sarah had begun to hope. Yet the years went by, one after another, and no child was ever conceived. Sarah saw her 70th birthday, then her 75th, 80th, and 85th birthdays. These were busy years with life-giving travel, blessings galore, and exploring the land that God had promised to she and Abraham. But there was no child to pass on all her accumulated wisdom and knowledge. When you're waiting for something and it never arrives, you try to just put it out of your mind after a while, right? Thinking of it and hoping for it only makes the inevitable disappointment worse. So as her 90th birthday draws near, Sarah knew better than to hope any longer. The ship of children had sailed. The well of God's promise had dried up. So she laughs when the man says to Abraham, "Your wife Sarah shall have a son." Is it a laugh of tender wistfulness at what might have been? Or does bitterness catch in her throat? When asked about her laughter, of course she denies it. She didn't want to be thought unfaithful to God's promises, but there was no point continually waiting for something that was never going to happen. What are we waiting for? What are you waiting for? Does it have a definite arrival date? Sometimes we wait for things that have a specific fulfillment time, that package coming from Amazon, or getting a driver's license, or completing school, having a baby, or retiring from a career. These are hard to wait for, but they're easier because you can look at a calendar and see when they're going to happen. Then there are the other things we wait for which are not guaranteed, which are held as hopes. We wait to fall in love or to be held by another. We wait to find truly meaningful work for our days. We wait for arguments to blow over or relationships to mend. We wait for the healing of a broken heart, for relief from daily pain, for an end to mental illness, or for grief to lose its choking power. We wait even for a peaceful death, some of us, but even that is not guaranteed. We wait for transformation in a broader community and global sense also. We long for God's promises given how many centuries ago to be fulfilled at last. Millions go to bed hungry, yet Isaiah says that God will make for all peoples a feast of rich food. Migrants are forced to choose between the terror of their home countries, deadly deserts, and fierce opposition in a new country. Yet we read that God shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. How long, O Lord? The psalmist asks. How long until black lives are protected as much as white lives? Until officers of the peace can keep their guns holstered forever? How long until schools are fully funded? Until everyone has what they need to thrive? Until cancer is a distant memory and sharing by all will mean scarcity for none? How long? Until the promises of Revelation at the end of Scripture come to pass, until God will dwell among all the peoples of the earth and will wipe every tear from their eyes. How long, O Lord? In the face of such great evidence to the contrary, no wonder it's hard to trust God's promises. It may seem cynically laughable to those outside the church that Christians pray daily for your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Yet God's realm is so hard to see on earth. If we're honest, sometimes it's hard to believe that within the church as well. Nadia Boltz-Weber has been a Lutheran pastor for a Denver church called House for All Sinners and Saints. She's written powerfully about her own struggles with addiction and illness, and her experience leading a church which gathers every type of person together. She describes how agnostics and Jews, addicts and soccer moms, all find grace when they gather together as community in her church. I once heard her say that faith is not given. Faith is not given in sufficient quantities to individuals. We might not have enough faith all by ourselves. She says, rather, faith is given to communities instead, so we may hold it for each other. One of the main reasons we gather as a church is to hold the light of hope for one another. When you're on your own, there's little protection against inevitable times of despair when waiting has gone on too long and the laughter comes out cynical or bitter. But when we're together, some who feel more fully that day the hope of God will nurture and care for others who feel that day the doubts of life. And the next week or the week after that, our roles may be reversed. We hold the promises of faith as a community, as the people of God who gather here. Then by divine grace, we see God bring them about in unexpected ways. Because by the end of the story, this, who could have thought it, child is born. Isaac, laughter, is born to Abraham and Sarah. Not only the doubting laughter of Sarah in chapter 18, or let's be honest, the laughter of Abraham when he hears the same thing in the chapter before, but the incredulous, disbelieving, but joyful, grace-abounding laughter of Sarah in Genesis 21. She says, God has brought laughter to me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. Who would have ever said to Abraham that Sarah would bear him, that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Sarah knows when her prayers and the promises of God are fulfilled at last, that God has brought laughter in the place of sorrow. Isaac is born. Laughter is born. Not just then, but anew in the community of faith each week. Laughter is born when one who is in deep, deep grief no longer feels the knife edge of loss. God has brought Isaac. God has brought laughter when an alcoholic celebrates another anniversary of sobriety during prayer time. God has brought laughter when people share stories of social and community healing. God brings laughter in the simple delight of sharing a pew with someone you love and with someone you're just beginning to know, singing together of the world that God is bringing into being. God has brought laughter. God is bringing laughter. God will bring laughter. Even now. Here and now. So we as a people hold this promise forever. Isaac is born. Resurrection triumphs over crucifixion, and the Spirit of God still sustains the world. Hold to that hope. Hold it for others when needed, and let others hold it for you when you need it. Let it be our guide, our promise, and our touchstone of faith, even when proof is hard to find. God has brought laughter. Let the God of that durable hope grant us hearts that trust in God's promises, eyes of faith to see it coming true, and joyful sharing of that good news as we go through the world. God has brought laughter. Amen.